Katie, and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This week, I'm chatting with Lorna from 2 Devon Pixies Home Ed. We talked on the 17th of March, as lockdown for the coronavirus was just starting, but before the schools had closed, and that colours the whole conversation. However, we also talk about tough trays, the pedagogy of just give it a go, and Lorna brings a fantastic book list that will keep you going through these strange days. And now, on with the episode. This week, I'm talking to Lorna from 2 Devon Pixies Home Ed. Hello, thank you very much for coming and being on the podcast.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
Right, so tell me a bit about your family.
Okay, so there's my 5-year-old twins who are complete polar opposites, boy-girl twins, Brandon and Wren. There's me, and I'm part-time, flexible working, and doing most of the home ed stuff. There's my husband, Ryan, their dad, who's self-employed, works full-time, and does bits and pieces. My mum and my stepdad, who have them once a week, and do lots of fun outdoors stuff and music and things with them. And my mother-in-law, who has them for a day every other week as well. And we've got a cat and a fish and 2 snails. Better not forget them.
When you say snails, do you mean like those like big African land snails or something?
Yeah, albino ones, yeah.
Oh, wow. Hang on, if they're albino, does that mean that the bits of them are pink?
Well, they've got like a grey, white coloured body and white shells, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're a team multi.
We had snails, but they were just garden snails. But we had them in a tank a few years ago and they were good fun.
They are. They're really relaxing to watch when you look at the like ripple their feet make when they're going across the grass. Glass, even, not grass. Yeah, it's lovely.
How big are they?
One of them is quite a bit bigger. It takes up most of my hand.
Oh, wow.
And the other one more kind of palm size, but they're a bit smaller because they're albino, and they tend to be smaller. We had Felix. See, there's a Harry Potter theme. It was Felix Felicis, Veritaserum, and Amortentia. Because you have to have fancy nails for snails, obviously.
Of course.
yeah, they're a bit smaller, but they're still quite good size. Yeah.
I was going to say, how big is that? Is that as big as they're going to grow, or do they get bigger?
I think they're pretty much as big as they're going to be now. They're over a year old.
Right. That's still a decent size.
2 years old now. Yeah. Yeah.
Snails are great. I love snails.
Not keen on slugs though. Weirdly, I can't be going near slugs.
No, I can't handle slugs either. I don't know what I don't know why I feel differently about it.
I've wondered this myself, but
the shell is cute and it feels like a little house. Slugs and it limits how much slime you're thinking about, I reckon.
And I think they're less slimy in general because they don't need to be because they've got the shell.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how and why did you start home educating?
So I decided when they were about 2, because actually a lot of it's Facebook to blame, I think. We've got a friend who started, whose son is a year and a bit older than ours.
Yeah.
And she was just sharing all this really great stuff. She decided really early and they were sharing all this great stuff. It looked really good fun. And I was in a crunchy mama group on Facebook, and there seemed to be a lot of negative things coming across in the posts, because obviously it's where people go to vent, and a lot of sort of the negative side of schools, whereas people don't go on, I suppose, and say how wonderful everything is, because that's not the nature of Facebook parenting groups. And a lot of the answers were from home educating mums saying, oh, have you thought about this? And this is how we handle it. And it just looked like a nice way of doing things, and it appealed to me, so I started looking into it. That's where it kind of the idea started from. And just thought it'd be an adventure. That's what I normally tell people when they ask why we're doing it. It'd be an adventure.
Yeah, which it is. Like, I like that because it encompasses all of it. Like, it doesn't. It's not kind of saying, hey, it's always amazing, because it isn't always amazing. But it's kind of going, well, but when it isn't amazing, we get through it, and when it's great, it's really good. So. Yeah, I like that.
And I don't have to tell people the reasons that are more negative that they might see as being, attacking of what their decisions are, because that's not really a factor in it. you know, there are negative bits to everything. I don't particularly like the national curriculum, but I see that it's how it works for a large number of people.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the only way to do it, and I don't think it's the best way to do it if you don't have to teach a whole class at the same time.
Yeah, totally.
And a lot of people would argue that it's not really fit for purpose because of the way it's being forced onto teachers. They're not getting the input that they would like to have it the best way that they could deliver it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. We just thought it would be a nice thing to do, and I've never really been one to sort of do what I have to do and do what everybody else does. It just something a bit different. It'd be fun.
yeah one of my things, I guess, was like realizing that as my kids were getting to be school age, we were going to have to fit in this space, this kind of school, do you know what I mean, like box of like,
yeah,
clang. We're gonna have to fit in this school box of this is the only time that you can like not be in school, and you know, just that suddenly all these things that we'd taken for granted that we could make decisions on, we weren't going to be able to make decisions on anymore.
Yes.
And the idea that was going to go on for, you know, a decade and a half or something, you know, with multiple kids, was just like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And realizing that you know, it's a privilege to not have to make that choice, kind of thing. But you know.
Yeah, definitely a privilege.
Definitely. Yeah, so I understand that, kind of like, I don't really want to toe the line if I don't have to.
Yeah, and it's also the thing, it's a weird thing with twins, because it's all in one go. It's not like you can go, oh, well, I can have a little bit of time with you when you're younger, and then I can have a little bit of time with the next one when they're younger. Wham, it's at you at once, and we're not having any more. we've just got the two. And yeah, it just feels like, well, we could do a lot more stuff that we would like to do as a family, without the restrictions of having to be at a certain place for a certain time.
Yeah, it's kind of getting more out of every year, because this is your, you know, this is your year with 5-year-olds,
yeah,
for example.
So exactly.
You know, get as much out of it as you can, kind of thing. So did you, I mean, the next question is kind of how long have you been home educating? Which I guess is still relevant.
Yeah, we started when they were about two, but it was obviously all play-based, and I was more collecting resources and making friends in the community,
totally.
Making mum friends in the community, because it's a lot easier.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier when you've got people that you can, you know, bounce ideas off and stuff. And yeah, just building up my terrible hoard. I've got too much stuff in the house.
It's so easily done.
Yeah. But I've got things now which I got when, like, you know, when they were three, for that's suitable for when they're six, in a box, yeah, ready to pull out when I need it.
That's good.
Yeah. we've done Tough Trays for a long time. I don't know if you must know. I think everybody knows about Tough Trays, don't they? Probably not.
For the people who don't know, explain what a Tough Tray is.
they're actually cement mixing trays from the building trade.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, that's what they were originally, but they've got raised edges.
Yeah.
They're like a hexagonal shape. Are they, or octagons? Octagons. Yeah, they're octagons, I think, now. And they've got raised edges. And they're really durable, thick plastic. So when they play stuff on it, it doesn't go off the edge.
Yeah.
So they use them a lot in play groups and preschools and things like that. And you can get stands for them. So we've got a stand to make it a table, which is an adjustable height. And it's just basically really easy to keep clean. It's really durable. It just keeps all the mess contained in, it's meant to keep all the mess contained in one place. So there's loads of groups as well that it's spelt wrong. It's spelt T-U-F-F.
Yeah.
Either Tough Trays or Tough Spots. And there's loads of groups, so you can get loads of ideas for things. But we pretty much just use it as a table now. But when they were smaller, we would have like theme things, and I would set things up because I'm a night owl and my children are not. Yeah, so I would stay up late and set up something for them to play with, an invitation to play, as they call it. Yeah. And then they would come down in the morning and there'd be all the stuff that they could play with, and I would have a little bit of time to wake up.
Yeah.
That was the plan.
So how does it, I mean, I guess in a way what you've done is you've kind of, you've step by stepped into it, haven't you, really? So now they're like at official school age, she says, making bunny ears. Like you're just progressing from what you were doing before, yeah, you know what just, I mean?
Yeah, just changing it as their interests and their abilities change, really.
So the next question is, how does it look different than when you started? I guess in a way, the other question to ask is sort of, now you are further into it, is it look, does it look how you thought it was going to look?
I guess it looks how I thought it would look, because I didn't really know what it was going to, it was going to look like. I thought it would be different every day, and it is different every day. It's very seasonal, and it's very, well, I have the thing about tides, where, you know, things can happen quite quickly and can change, and you just sort of go with the flow, and there's no point in fighting the tide.
Yeah.
If somebody's really into something, then you might as well just stick with that, and then you can start another topic and they're just not interested at all, and it's best to just let that go and bring it back when they are.
Yeah.
So I kind of expected it to be like that. So I didn't have a proper image. I just had a thing of a very confused calendar. That's pretty much what we've got. Especially because I work different days of the week. I don't have like a set day I work. So we tend to be in different places all the time.
It's about flexibility, isn't it, as much as anything else, really?
Yes, definitely. Not always because I want it to be.
Oh, no.
Sometimes it's just because it has to be, yeah.
Flexibility gets thrust upon you, basically. Whether you want it or not, you have to kind of rise to the occasion.
Yeah, we do have a lot more, usually, we have a lot more groups that we've joined, whereas, they did go to preschool, they went to preschool when they were preschool age for 1 to 2 days over the 2 years, and we've sort of replaced that now with going to groups.
Yeah.
Yeah, and activities when they're on.
Yes, yeah, I'm sure I would have said this in the intro, but in case I haven't, we're recording this on the 17th of March, 2020, for like way off people in the future. Hello, way off people in the future. Where everything is being cancelled around us, like drip feeding cancellations of basically everything we're used to in our lives. So,
yeah.
And we will get on to that. That is the elephant in the room for this conversation, and we will be discussing it as much as we can.
Because
I'm sure by the time this goes out 5 days later, or whatever it's going, 6 days later, things will be different again until we get to some kind of equilibrium. But is generally maybe not today, but generally going really well for your home ed family at the moment?
We're really into read alouds. That's a big one for us. It's a really, really nice. I've got the thing, there's two things, my two bits of general parenting advice to people is just add water if anything goes wrong. Yeah. Chuck them in the bath, or you know, give them some water to play with. And the other one is read to them, because that seems to be the sort of instant calm in our house. If I pick up a book and start reading, they will just congregate, and you know, it's one of my favourite things. Even if it's on an audiobook.
Yeah.
We've literally just finished The Secret Garden, which I started as a read aloud until I realised I can't do a Yorkshire accent. Which is a really, really big factor in that book. So we switched it over. We switched over to an audiobook because I was just not getting well with that. Audiobooks count anyway, so read alouds is a big thing for us. And actually for Christmas my sister got them one of those world maps where you scratch off the countries.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. And Brandon in particular will say, oh, I want to learn that one, point to it, and then we're on our third country now, and he just decides that's what he wants to learn about, and then I build the whole topic around that for like a month. So that's been going really well.
Cool.
Really likes that one. And he's got a a big poster next to his bed with the world map with like animals and or things from that country. And he loves that, looking at where everything is on there. So that's going really well because I'm really bad at geography. So I'm learning with them where everything is.
Yeah.
Which is really good. Funnily enough, I think I got like the second, there's three of us got the highest score for our SATs test in geography when we were 12, I think. Yeah. And I couldn't tell you where many countries are on a map. I just like it was all about volcanoes and gross national product and things like that. There was no, like, I couldn't tell you where anything was on a map.
I did geography A level, and I think there was just one point at which they basically said, "Look, we're going to intensively test you on countries of the world for like the next 2 weeks because it's going to come up in your exam." But apart from that, unless it had come up in context for something, do you know what I mean? Like, you just didn't discuss places of the world. It's a really tiny bit of geography, even though it seems like it shouldn't be.
So this has been really nice to me. I now know where things are because my kids are asking me and I can look it up. And yeah, it's great. It's nice learning next to them about all these places. It's good.
So with the read alouds, when did you have you switched to chapter books or like include, I don't mean switch because that sounds like picture books no more, but like have you, when did you start bringing in chapter books if you have?
I'm trying to think now. I think the first one we did was what's the wood one called? Animals of Farthing Wood, that's it. Which I'd never read as a kid. I was not very well read for like chapter books when I was a child. I just not, and it's really nice to be able to read them all now. We started with that one, which was probably, it was over a year ago, I think. And like, fortunately, The Milk, which I loved because Neil Gaiman is amazing. So have you read that one?
No, I haven't. I know of it, but I haven't.
I'm a huge Neil Gaiman fan. And we did The Frost Giants, Odd and the Frost Giants as well, because it's part of a topic group. We did that one as well a little while ago, and they loved that one as well. So we started with the sort of their chapter books, but they're short chapters, and the book wasn't terribly long. And then gradually started introducing long ones. And the Enchanted Wood series, the Enid Blyton one, that's the one that really got them hooked.
Yeah.
They really like that one, or those ones.
Yeah, we have those as audiobooks, and my girls in particular really like this. And my sister, when she was a kid, she really liked them as well. They're good, and they are that kind of, they're not talking down to the listener or the, you know, the reader, but they are kind of aimed at the younger readers. So they are good bridging books, I think, for that kind of thing.
Yeah, they were really nice. And also to say, see, look at how much work they did to help their mum. They were doing gardening. Look, they did some sewing. Might have mentioned that a couple of times.
Yeah, kids, come on. You like these characters in the book, be like them.
Yeah, they were gone all day and all they had was a jam sandwich.
It's a different world.
Yeah, third breakfast, homeschool kids. Yeah, take note.
So the next question is, what problems have you been solving in your home education recently as the world goes into pandemic lockdown?
Yes. Well, yeah, that's the main one, really, is trying to work out how we're going to stay in contact with all of our friends. I mean, it's not like it was before. You know, we've got video calling and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's just trying to find a way to make it work.
Well, like, particularly when you've got younger ones as well. Because their play tends to be a lot more, you know, tactile and maybe less conversational kind of thing.
Yes, and I was telling you earlier, my daughter is a hugger. She will hug anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
if she, you know, she meets somebody in soft play and they are her best friend in the world, and she will hug them like 2 times every minute. So.
Yeah. And as we were saying earlier, in a way, the difficulty is like the conversation you and I are having here, we're still trying to navigate what it means as well. So like there isn't, I don't know, there isn't loads of advice really that we can give at the moment. There's lots of, you know, there's lots of good stuff coming out of other homeschoolers and home educators. Social media and stuff, that's good.
Yeah, Jean shared a post that went completely viral, didn't she? You've had her on before, the Messy Mum. She shared a post that went viral with a list of resources that the home educating community had put together for parents who suddenly found their children out of school. And actually, it's a really good list. Like, I looked through it and went, oh, I didn't know about that one. So it was actually quite useful for us to use long term.
Yeah, totally.
So,
and
yeah.
I know that there's stuff like... Twinkle have made their whatever the highest layer of their membership,
the ultimate one,
that's available free for a month, which I will stick the link to the thing for that in the show notes.
I'll just add that one in. If you're not a member of the Twinkle Home Ed group, it's brilliant, and they've got Twinkle have actually taken on somebody called Alistair, who is their home ed guy, and he basically runs the group. And he's so helpful. If you go onto the group and say, I'm learning about, I don't know, potatoes. Can you send me all the information? He just appears on Facebook with all these links to all the things you need if you're having trouble finding anything or if something doesn't work. It's brilliant.
Oh, brilliant. Because, like, I mean, I haven't used Twinkle for a couple of years or so, and there's so much more on the site. There was a lot on the site before, but there's so much more on the site now. It's actually a bit overwhelming. Like, so...
Yeah.
So I will put a link to that. I will find the Facebook group and I'll put a link to that for you guys.
Yeah. And because I mentioned to him I couldn't delete things that I'd saved. It was a really long, laborious process of deleting it.
Yeah.
And he went onto the group and he recorded a video and said, oh, you just drag and drop, and then it appears, and showed everybody how to do it within like a day of me asking him.
Brilliant.
So yeah, it's brilliant. And I'm a huge Twinkle fan anyway. I've used it for various things since they were like two, since we decided to start doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got so much on there now.
So what are the things with the changes in how we have to live our life whilst the pandemic is going on that you're having to actually kind of grapple with at the moment?
Yeah, well, part of it is fitting in my work hours, because I do work part time. I'm very lucky that my boss is great and I get to work flexible hours, and I pretty much just... I get told what I need to do and I pick which hours I do based around childcare and things like that.
Yeah.
But part of the problem is one of my childcare providers is immunocompromised, because my mum's on immunosuppressants for her arthritis, and she's the main carer for my 86-year-old grandmother. And my other childcare assistant is my mother-in-law, who's a nurse. So... we're going to have to think quite seriously about what we're going to do with that, because that could be a bit difficult. But I'm lucky that I can work from home anyway, and my husband has them every other Sunday on the weeks that his mum doesn't have them, so I can go into work. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really just going to be a case of trying to work out how we can keep in contact with everybody. How much we can go. And we're in a good position because we've got family woodland that we can go in where we're pretty much guaranteed not to see anybody. And we've got somewhere we can get the garden sorted and things like that. But yeah, we're in a much more fortunate position than a lot of people are if we do have to go into isolation for an extended period.
Yeah, because we were talking before the podcast, weren't we? We were saying that, you know, it may well be that by the time this is out, by the time you're listening to this, the schools have closed. They haven't at this point, which also means that outdoor spaces that home edders can use during the day and know that you're not really going to come across very many people who you can keep your distance from, whatever, are going to suddenly sort of, the availability of that's going to drop, I think.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Because I was saying we've got a nature reserve near us called Stover, which is fantastic. And if you go in the week, you hardly see anybody during the day.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are going to be thinking the same thing if the schools are off. I mean, we're also right by the moor, so, you know, it's not impossible that we could go out to places and be quite far away from people.
Yeah.
But it's a bit different if you don't have that kind of like vast wilderness that you can walk around without seeing anybody. could be a bit more tricky.
Well, yeah, because we don't even know what's going to happen with park spaces. I have family in Ireland, and their local park has basically been shut so that people can't use it. You know, so which makes sense from, you know, from what I understand with regards to like play equipment and things.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're hard to keep clean, and, you know, and to remain clean kind of thing. But it means that, you know, people can't walk around the lake and, you know, equal yeah. space distances or whatever. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Small people still need to burn off loads of energy. And that must be really yeah. hard when, you know, if you don't have a garden and you don't have, you know, nearby space or whatever.
No, I can highly recommend Andy's Animal Wraps on CBeebies. There used to be Andy's Moves as well. He used to have one called Andy's Moves, but I don't know if that's still on the iPlayer or if it was on BBC. Is it the BBC Teach?
Oh, right.
If I got the right thing. And it's basically like a little mini aerobics exercise thing for kids to do with Andy from CBeebies. Which when my two start getting a little bit like they need to burn off some energy, if it's, you know, if we can't get outside for whatever reason, I yeah. tend to put that on. Cosmic Kids Yoga will keep Ren happy, but not Brandon.
Yes, I was going to suggest Cosmic Kids. I will find those and I will stick them into the show notes, because that's really good. Because it's like we need stuff that we can get. You know, I mean, it's like my kids are a bit older. We have a Switch. We have Just Dance, so we can all, you know, kind of dance yes. around and join into that. But, you know, not everybody has that stuff. And it's nice to be like, look, use your BBC. They need your protection.
Yeah.
So use them a lot now to show how useful they are. This is a really good opportunity to kind of, you know.
Yeah, and there's loads on there, yeah.
yeah. Well, yeah, because it's all on the, you know, it's all on the MyPlayer. So it's all good.
Yeah.
So. What books are you loving right now?
Oh, I've got a list.
Yay! I love a list.
Books for them. We've already talked about The Enchanted Wood. We've just started on the Magic Treehouse books.
Yes.
Yeah, because, well, we read the first one because I was told you need to read the first one. And then after that, you can pretty much go to, if you're doing, like we've started a China topic. So we've got one that's based in China,
yep.
which has jumped a whole load ahead. So I'm hoping that still makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I know the Waldock Way has got a curriculum based around those books, isn't she?
Oh, I didn't
you
know
seen
that.
That one?
No, I hadn't seen that.
Can't remember what it's called now. We haven't got it. I don't get on with curriculums.
Yeah.
I get really stressed that I don't do it at the right times, especially because my work calendar's all over the place.
Yeah.
And I get really anxious about the fact that I can't do it at the right time. So I don't follow curriculums that have like set things, but I know a lot of people say it's really good. But we're just using the books against the topics that we're doing anyway.
I think the books themselves are just such good jumping off points anyway, that, you know, that and a library card and, you know, a bit of child safe YouTube kind of keeps you busy for, you know, and Twinkle, as you point out, keeps you busy for quite a long time, to be honest.
Yeah, we're not normally short when we've combination.
No.
Yeah. we've got loads of picture books. Just hundreds. They love the have you seen ones of Roaring Rockets and Terrific Trains?
Oh, they were complete family favourites in our house.
Yeah, they love those. Brandon especially loves those. And Winnie the Witch books. Ren loves Winnie the Witch books. And they both love the Mr. Men and Little Miss books. They're always a big hit, and like Julia Donaldson, all the usual ones. So we've got hundreds of picture books. We did borrow the Lost Words poetry book from the library.
Yes,
massive one, and I borrowed it twice, and then we had to take it back because somebody else had requested it, and Brandon was so upset he cried. Because he just liked it in the poetry time. So we got a copy of that one, which is beautiful. And we got to see, they had an exhibition at our local museum.
Oh, brilliant.
The artwork, and we got to go and see it. It was really nice. I think I probably enjoyed that more than they did. but it was really good. And we've got like the the museum books, you know, they're the same size as the Lost Word books, but there's like Animalium.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got the animal one and the dinosaur one, and I'm going to add to those because they're really good as well. They like looking through those.
Yeah, those are brilliant books.
So yeah, loads of books like that. The books, my recommendations for parents.
Yeah.
The Read Aloud Family, obviously.
Yeah.
Like everybody says that, don't they? On your and Brave Learner.
I don't. Yes, it has come up a few times, but not as often as I would have expected, to be honest.
Yeah. So Read Aloud Family and Brave Learner.
Yeah.
I would just listen to. I've got them on audiobook actually. I don't not read them as physical books. Yeah. But they're always really good if you just need a bit of a pep talk.
Does Sarah do the Read Aloud Family as the audiobook?
Yes, yeah, she does.
Oh, cool.
I like that one.
It's the wrong time to say she has a super infectious voice, but she has a super infectious voice.
Yes, yeah. I did actually send back Teaching in Rest. Have you read that one?
I have.
That wasn't for me. We're secular and it just wasn't... Yeah, wasn't my thing.
It's very specifically Christian and it needs you to understand a whole layer of theology that like is not part of my life for it to make sense. Trying to pass it through a sort of secular mindset just doesn't really work.
It's too much hard work.
Well, it's hard. You can't take it as a metaphor. If you take it as a sort of metaphor, you can't pass it through what it would actually mean to live it without living it, if you see what I mean. Like, I think it's well written, I think it's a good book, but it's just it's so very much of a Christian mindset that it doesn't have, there isn't a sort of secular equivalent.
No, because I always recommend it to my friends who are Christian and say it's a really good book, it's really well written, but it, and I'm glad I read it or listened to it, but I sent it back because I wouldn't listen to it again. It felt too much hard work. I was constantly consciously going, we'll just skirt over that bit.
Yeah, well, it's like, because it's asking for a sort of it's not even a religious surrender, but do you know what I mean? It's asking for something that there isn't a secular equivalent, and therefore you can't just go, oh okay, so I would do it like this, and it's not if you're not doing it like that, it's not a practical book. Whereas something like Read Aloud Family, she can say, these things are important and this is why you should do them. And you can go, oh, yeah, OK, I will do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The Read Aloud Family is really easily read as a secular family probably any religion.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. But that's one of my favourite ones.
Yeah, because it doesn't have a basis in religion. It's just that, you know, reading aloud is good for your family culture and it is good for your children, and you know, in lots of different ways. Here are all the many different ways, you know, and here's how to make it work within your family. So anybody of any religion can pick this up and make use of it without it contravening how you already live your life, you know, how you already choose to live your life, kind of thing. Just that
exactly. Yeah, and there's the Enchanted Hour is a newer one that's come out, which is not homeschool, home educated specific. It's just about reading. That's quite interesting as well. That wasn't actually on my list, but
I think it's quite a good one. I haven't read it. That's pretty new, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not been out for very long. I audiobook that as well because I'm not very good at sitting down and reading, but I am very good at listening while I'm cleaning and stuff.
Yes. Did that have different things to say? So have you listened to that one then?
I have, yeah.
Did that have different things to say? In comparison to Sarah?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't listen to it again. I would probably listen to Sarah's one again.
Yeah.
Well, I know I will because I have already listened to it a few times. But a lot of it was more scientific and there was a lot of things about how they used in military families or people that were... in prisons, their family, you know, being able to, there's programs set up so they can record them reading books for their children and things. That was quite interesting. There's lots of things like that. So it's sort of a slightly more scientific and it wasn't specific to home educating.
Yeah. Do you have anything else for that list before I move on?
I do.
Do it. Do it.
The Call of the Wild and Free. Have you read that one?
I'm in the midst of reading it at the moment.
Yeah, I
enjoy
that.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. That was a good one. Did you?
Yeah. It's one of those ones like just when I sit down and read it, I'm like scribbling through it and like making little notes and highlighting bits and whatever. And it's so and then I kind of just put it down for like a couple of weeks. Going, oh, I really must read some more of that book. It was fantastic. Because it's just, I don't know, I just keep like trying to absorb it in lots of different ways. Do you know what I mean? Rather than just reading it and going, oh, that was good. It's like pulling out quotes. I literally got like 5 pages in and I think there's a quote from Julie Bogart saying, like, this is a career. What you're doing is a career. And I think I was really like, oh, thank you, Julie. I really appreciate you. Tears, like, oh, I feel validated. I'm not taking the piss, I genuinely felt validated. Yeah. I'm working really hard and we don't earn a penny from any of this, but like, you know, because like that's not how home education works, and you know. So I was like, oh god, I really need this book. So yeah, you know, it's good.
That's one of the good things about audiobooks, is that you just, especially if you're driving, you just have to take it in. You can't get distracted by taking notes, but then that's the bad side of audiobooks, because you can't take notes because you're driving.
Well, then it gets dangerous, you see, because like then I'm like, you know, I'm as we are recording this, I just put a blog post out about a Michael Rosen book called Good Ideas, which I'm listening to as an audiobook, and it's been out for a while, so you can get cheap copies, which is like brilliant. But I was like, no, I need the paper copy as well, and I'd really try not to do that because it's, you know, a bit indulgent and expensive, but I could get like a cheap second hand copy. So I want to underline bits and, you know, pull questions out and whatever. As you say, you can't flick back and forth and put lots of, you know, bookmarks into an audiobook, but it makes you take it in.
Which actually leads me nicely on to Messy Maths. That's excellent. Amazing book, which I borrowed from the library, and I had so many post-it notes in it, and then I had to give it back because I talked about it on Instagram, and then somebody requested it, and I couldn't renew it at the library. It's my own fault. I know who it was, and she's probably going to be listening to this podcast, and I know because we joked about it. But I just went and bought a copy because I'm just going to want to keep it, and I'm going to want to fill it with.
That sounds fantastic.
Oh, do you not know this? It's Juliet Robinson. Juliet Robinson is a playful outdoor approach for early years. And it's just brilliant. There's loads of stuff, and it's just nicely broken up, and I think it's sort of aimed at teachers probably, but it's just to get teachers to take the kids outside and to learn maths out and about, and it's brilliant. So, but I'm still only halfway through because I'm having to reread from the beginning to put all the notes back in.
Yeah, exactly. What sort of age range is that for then?
It's early years. And I think it starts sort of preschool. Yeah, probably up until sort of year one-ish, I suppose. Right. But I think it might go up to later. But it's just really, it's a really nice book. But it is early years, aimed at early years.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. And I'm also partway through the Peggy Kay books, the Games for Learning and Games for Writing.
Oh, cool.
And I think she's got other ones as well, that are maths ones, that somebody on Instagram recommended, and they seem quite good, but I got distracted, and they're paper copies, and I'm really bad at reading paper copies. I'm good if they're on Kindle, and I'm good if they're on audiobook. I've got distracted with Messy Maths, and I picked up How Children Learn at Home as well, which I started and haven't finished.
Yeah.
So I got a big pile of books that I'm heart reading. The other one, which was a surprise one, because I've got Kindle Unlimited, and you can get Alexa to read it out to you.
Oh wow.
So you can get Kindle Unlimited, get the free books, and then you can get Alexa to read it to you. She does sometimes say the words wrong if they're spelt the same.
Yeah.
So read and read and things like that, she'll get the wrong one, and it's a bit confusing, but it's free. So the Homeschool Adventures by Melissa Callop.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Which is about field trips. I'm hoping I've got the right book now, because I did read loads of them, I'm sure. And it's basically just about going, you know, how beneficial it is to go on field trips and how to fit field trips. It's very American.
Yeah.
But if you know that, you know, if you, I really enjoyed that one. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. And Sage Homeschooling as well. Rachel yes. Rainbolt. Yeah. Which I did the same again. So it's on Kindle Unlimited. So
yeah.
I did actually read it to me. And that's probably about, there's probably loads more, but those are the ones I've written down.
Oh, but it's a good list though. That's a good meaty list to keep people busy for ages. I love it. What else are you loving right now?
Oh, just, yeah, everything really. It's just, it's spring's coming. It's been a, really horrible, miserable, grey, rainy winter. With loads of bugs everywhere. And we were starting to get really excited because spring was coming. We were, every time we saw shoots on the trees, we were, yay! Obviously, the whole infectious things, causing a bit of an issue over that. But generally, we're looking forward to when we can start going out for things again. We'd started going swimming again, and yeah.
I know it's hard, isn't it? Because like, yeah, if you can see all the signs of spring, and there's a bit of me at the moment where everything's up in the air, going, oh, "That's nice." I'll look at that from the window. It's like, no, I can't get out in it a bit. You know, we can get involved in it a bit, but you know, I don't.
Yes, well, we've got a vegetable garden that's completely overgrown. We started trying to clear it a couple of years ago, and it just didn't work. It's down at a horse yard.
Oh yeah,
so it's right next to. Right next to the like manure heap, so there's fertilizer and stuff. You just have to turf over. It's perfect. It's got running water, so you know, little greenhouse. I've got all the tools down there, but it's completely overgrown with brambles and nettles, and you can't get in there. We keep trying to go down and clear it, and I'm thinking, well, maybe this is the year. This is the year where we literally can't go to anything else. We're gonna have to go down, and then I might get my shed up and get some chickens.
Have you had chickens before?
We used to have, it's my family's yard. They used to have chickens down there. Yeah, and my gran is a farmer. I love chickens. I'm so excited to get them, but it's a lot of work to get it started.
I miss having chickens, but yeah, it's a lot of work.
And we get loads of eggs from people already. So we've got friends that have got chickens, and my husband works with somebody who's got ducks and guinea fowl.
Oh, wow.
So we get guinea fowl eggs, hundreds of guinea fowl eggs.
Are they bigger, smaller? How are they different?
Smaller. They're half a large egg in a recipe.
Oh, wow.
So, but they've got really hard shells. You have to really, it's really difficult to crack. They're no good for kids baking.
Can't break. Recipe for stuff everywhere.
Yes, yeah. But duck eggs, which are obviously amazing for cakes, so.
Yeah. I've only ever had duck eggs once, but they're pretty fantastic.
Such nice cakes. Probably not in an omelette, but really good in cakes.
Yeah, I don't know. So you may be doing that then?
Yeah, that's probably going to be our goal for, you know, silver linings and stuff. Let's try and get that sorted.
How will you clear it? Do you think, I mean, are you going to sort of put suppressant, like with our allotment and stuff, in the past we put down, you know, like weeds, not the chemical, but
I mean, you know, the big sheets.
The big sheets and stuff, just to stop growing. And stuff.
Yeah, we've got those black sheets to go on it. But I really need to be able to get to it because the path's completely overgrown. It's like a privet bush that's just gone crazy. So I need to cut it all back. And have a big bonfire down there with loads of stuff that needs to go.
Do your two help with that? Are they up for that?
I think they will be now. They really weren't before. So I had cleared loads of it. And then we had, they had like a little mud kitchen there, and it was great. Yeah. And then something happened, and we had an illness that went through us one at a time.
Yeah.
We couldn't go down there for 3 weeks. And when we went back, the nettles were taller than they were.
Yes. Yeah, if you turn your back on that place for five, you know, at that sort of, with those sort of plants, wrong time of year, turn your back and that's it. You feel like you're having to start again.
Yeah, and then the funny thing was I tried to start clearing the nettles and I was smacking them off the way so that I could lift them up. And a pheasant had made a nest in the middle and I nearly got the pheasant. So we had to like cover it back up and like back away slowly and go, we're just going to leave it this year. We won't do it. So yeah, I need to get down there before the pheasants start nesting in the nettles.
Yeah. Oh my God, I didn't even know they did that. That's amazing. I mean, I guess they got a nest somewhere. It totally makes sense, but you know. So, what would you want someone who doesn't home educate to know about home education?
Well, probably just it's not easy, but it's pretty much as hard as you want it to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's resources for everything. And for example, I wanted to learn, or Brandon wanted to learn about Texas. And I don't really know anything about Texas. And I'm on an American homeschooling group, Morning Baskets one.
Yeah.
I asked on there about suggestions for picture books or, you know, bonus points if I could get them on the Kindle.
Yeah.
About Texas. And I got loads of replies. Somebody said, oh, there's this one and it's on Kindle Unlimited, so you can have it free if you've already got it. And some people said, oh, we've got these ones, you might be able to get them on Amazon. And then another lady came on and said, oh, I've got these three because I live in Texas. And they were like board books. And she said, you won't be able to get them unless you're in Texas, but I'll read them to you and video it. And she videoed in the accent, reading the stories to us. It's just so nice. And then we sent the video back saying, thank you so much. We love the stories. And then she sent us a load of her like family holiday snaps from where they'd been on holiday and around the area.
Yeah.
With like, this is what this is and this is what this is. And just totally brought it alive for my two, because there's a real person telling them about where they live. It was just brilliant. And then gradually, like more and more posts came up. Somebody's offered to send a postcard from there. We've got loads of like family recipes. Yeah, just bombarded me with all this amazingness.
Wow.
Because my son wanted to know about the country that had a rattlesnake on it on the map. Puppy got for Christmas. And it was brilliant. We had this massive, like, I think we did it for about 2 or 3 weeks. Cooking food and things from there. It was really good. So, you know, the resources are out there. They don't always have to cost any money.
No.
You just have to know where to ask, and ask at the right time of day to the right people, and you can get amazing responses.
And the weird thing is, somebody could gather up all of those things. I mean, I'm not, you know, but like could gather up all of those things and sort of make them into a curriculum and hand them to people. And it wouldn't be the same, even if it was exactly the same things, because part of it is about the discovery of it.
Yeah,
the being part of it existing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's the bouncing off each other. Like we sent a video back, and she could show her pictures of a video, her children a video of two children from England who just enjoyed that story. That it's nice.
That's really
all warm and fuzzy inside after that one. And the other thing is, yeah, you don't need a curriculum.
No,
You just don't need it. But it's fine if you want one.
Yeah.
But you don't need one. Like, we've got the Exploring Nature for Children curriculum, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's so well done, and it's just a brilliant resource. But I can't do it, because I just get so stressed about the fact that we're supposed to be doing it this week, and we're on the wrong week. Like, we haven't done this. It's Wednesday. We haven't. And yeah, it just doesn't suit that at all. Yeah. It would probably be fine for Ren, but especially with Brandon, he sees something and he wants to know all about it that minute.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like sort of following set things. He would rather pick something he wants to know about, and then he'll do all the things that I ask him to do for it.
Yeah.
Because it's what he wants to know about.
Yeah.
And luckily Ren kind of just goes along with it, because she just loves everything. She's really things like that. Make a game of everything, yeah.
And the thing is, when they're five, like, why kill that? Like, with no, we're going to work through this thing, because you don't need to. Like,
no, absolutely.
That's fantastic.
It can be fun.
So what would you want someone who is just starting home educating to know? What hard-earned wisdom do you want to pass down?
Do I have any? Do I have any yet?
You've been doing it, so I think you've learned stuff.
Yeah, I think I said it's just join the groups.
Yeah.
You know, meet the people, speak to people. One of the main things I would say, though, is you will come across people who are very, like, we unschool, and unschooling is this, and it is only this, and if you do it in a different way, it's not unschooling. And or, you know, this is, you know, Charlotte Mason, you can't use screens if you're Charlotte Mason. And in my opinion, that's just nonsense. Like, you can just pick and choose. You can be an unschooler on Tuesdays, and you can be Charlotte Mason on Fridays, and you can be semi-structured for, you know, you can just do whatever suits your family. And you can pick the bits out. So, like, if you really enjoy poetry tea time, but you want to be, you know, but you're an unschooler, you can just say, you know, they can pick what poetry they do. You know, that's probably not a very good example, but you know what I mean.
No, because that then it is, you can choose to make that part of your family culture and part of, like, the loose family routine. Because even, you know, like, and it not be, rather than this is something I tick off on my list of subjects that we're going to do this week kind of thing. Like, it's about how you think about it, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
To whether you can, like, bend it to your will or to your educational preferences or whatever.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things I like about the, like, the Exploring Nature with Children curriculum, is that you can just pick out the bits you want to do. So if they suddenly want to learn about frogs, I can just go to the week that's, you know, the pond week, and pull out all the information they've got about frogs, and I can see if any of it's suitable for them now. And you can use curriculums like that. You don't have to do what everybody else does.
No. Yeah, because you can use it as the resource rather than as something that, you know, well, we can't do that because frogs was 2 weeks ago. So, you know. Yeah, but I mean, educational fundamentalism is quite difficult. Because, you know, like, I don't know, if you get on the radar of somebody, if you get on the radar of somebody who thinks you're not doing it right, they can get quite cross with you. But, like, it's none of their business. They deal with their education, and, you know, you deal with yours. Yeah. It's fine.
And something that works really well for one child will not work really well for another. I mean, I've got twins. They've had exactly the same opportunities, and you know, they've had all exactly the same thing forever. Even, you know, from in the womb, everything was exactly the same, and yet they are so polar opposite. Like, you couldn't possibly imagine two children who were the, like, more different from each other. And, you know, you can make it fit both of them. Yeah. It's not a problem. So, like I said, Brandon's very, like, he has to have control over certain things for him to be comfortable, and for him to be, like, receptive. So he tends to pick what he wants, you know, the topic, and then Ren tends to be more picking the activity. He probably picks the activity all the time as well, but, you know, I then try and tailor something about that topic to suit her interests, because she doesn't really mind. As long as she gets to do a song and a dance with it, then she's quite happy with anything. Whereas he's like, I want to learn about Texas because there's a rattlesnake on the picture.
Sorry, I've got a small person asking me if they can have biscuits. And then, where are the biscuits? Like, we might have eaten them all. We may have to bake.
Oh, no.
That might be what you're doing this afternoon. I don't
I've got some Turkish delight curd that my mum got randomly from somewhere, so I'm going to be making Turkish delight cupcakes shortly. Hopefully. I'm quite excited about.
That sounds interesting.
Never heard of it before, yeah.
How do you do that?
Random baking. Well, I'm just going to make, like, vanilla-y ones, but instead of doing vanilla, I'm going to chuck in some Turkish delight curd and see how that goes. We're not really sure. I don't really know what else she's going to do it, but I like Turkish delight, so she bought it for me, and now this is the home ed way, isn't it? Oh, that looks fun. Let's give it a go. Might be just
exactly. What is it? I'm not quite sure, but let's try it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Is it a jar? It
could be amazing. Probably actually sums up our whole, like, pedagogy. I'll give it a go. Could be dreadful. It could be great. Let's just see what happens.
Well, if it's dreadful, it might be funny. Like, do you know what I mean? If it goes really badly, it's at least a story. Do you know, if nothing else?
Yeah.
Like a story.
All science is based on a guess.
So is it like in a jar? Is it like, I mean, it's like lemon curd. But like rose scented.
Yeah, it is like, yeah, it's like lemon curd, but it just says it's Turkish Delight flavour and it tastes quite nice. I love Turkish Delight.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You'll have to start off on like a Narnia thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably why I like it, actually, from the BBC series when I was a kid. I loved Turkish Delight then.
See, that's impressive because lots of people read the Narnia books and went, wow, Turkish Delight sounds amazing. Can I have some? Went and ate it and they went, what is this?
Oh, no, I love that.
Everything for this?
I'm old enough to remember the Fry's adverts when they were on telly, so. Oh, yeah. I was getting, you know, double whammy of BBC series that was on,
yes,
and then
yes,
switching to CITV and getting the Fry's adverts. So, you know, I was always
like everywhere.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram as TDevonPixiesHomeEd. I have got Facebook as well, although for some reason it doesn't let you transfer videos across, so not all my posts go on there, but we are on there. And I've got a blog which I do need to try and remember to update a bit more regularly, which is TDevonPixies as well.
We will have all the links. Do you want to give your Instagram what's it, but with all of the underscores so that people don't have to look you up?
I don't know what it is.
Hang on.
Oh, it's on predictive text, but
yeah, so you don't have to think about it. I'm gonna pull it up. I can cut this bit out. Let's have a look. You are 2, as in the number 2, Devon Pixies _ home _ Ed.
Thank you.
Not a problem. But this will all be in the show notes. There'll be links to all of your stuff. It's all good. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talk about on this episode or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at homeedvoices.co.uk or follow the link on Instagram at homeedvoicespodcast or Twitter at homeedvoices. This is episode 28. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcast, as this helps more people find out about it. The Homemade Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrot. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by C-Stock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube or anywhere else where podcasts are found. I'll be back with new episodes as soon as we work out what that's going to mean in the middle of a pandemic. But in the meantime, as much as it's possible under the circumstances, here's to more homemade adventures.